Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture lesson today is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, and whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
Thank you, Michelle. I think we're going to skip the children's lesson because I don't see any children here today. So we're going to save that one for another day because I'm sure it is great. But first, before I get into this, I just wanted to say thank you again for inviting me into your worship time. You know, we are family. I've been here enough times, and you know, it's always good to do Pulpit Supply elsewhere, but it's always extra good to do it with family. So thank you for this time together. You know, I do cherish our friendships, and it's funny because today we are talking about friendships, and you know, there are no shortages of movies about good friendships, you know, and I bet that you could name a few. Do any come to mind?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What movies come to mind about friendship? Good, excellent. Anybody else?
Beaches.
Oh, that's right. There are a ton. Goonies comes to mind for me. Stand By Me, Breakfast Club, St. Elmo's Fire, Thelma and Louise, The Secret Garden, Beaches, Clueless, Fried Green Tomatoes, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, Toy Story, Bridge to Terabithia, The Sandlot, Charlotte Webb, The Fox and the Hound, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I can continue to go on and on and on because friendship is a universal theme. And I think that I would be hard-pressed to find someone who doesn't long for at least one deep human connection in this world. Because we are a people created in community and for community. And I think that's why movies about friendships are typically very popular. It's good that you mentioned Beaches, because I remember when Beaches came out. I was in college, and my friend Sharon and her fiancé Walter and I, we were sitting down watching it. And if you know the movie, you will not be surprised to hear that Sharon and I were sobbing by the end. You know, we weren't just crying, we were sobbing with those convulsive catches of breath. And Wally asked us, why do you girls do that to yourselves? Why do we watch these movies that make us cry so hard? And we both responded at the same time with gasps of air between sobs, because we like it. He laughed and he just shook his head. He could not understand why we enjoyed something that seemed to cause such heartache for us. But for Sharon and I, the movie itself, it presented such a strong message of the value of friendship. It's one that touched us deeply regarding our own friendship. It was a good movie on its own, but the shared experience of watching this strong message of the power of friendship with someone who was indeed such a friend, that created a moment that impacted us. It reminded us what it meant to have someone you could talk about anything with, someone you could argue with, someone you could be yourself with, someone you tell how important they are to you, or someone who would bring you chocolate and sit with you when you were feeling the full weight of your world. And for those of you that don't quite get that last saying, there is a saying and a belief, of which I am one of them, that chocolate makes the world better. Yeah. And so when you get a friend who comes and sits with you and brings chocolate, no matter what life is like at that moment, it's always a little bit better.
Yeah. I just have a question.
Yes.
My friend went to Belgium.
Brought
me chocolate last night.
See, yeah. And now life is just a little bit better, isn't it? a gift of chocolate from Belgium, and that's a very special thing. absolutely. But you know what? And it's not really the chocolate that makes the difference. It's the friend, isn't it? Absolutely. And that's really what that's about. So my brothers and sisters, whom I love and miss, who are my joy and crown. The Apostle Paul is not shy about telling his friends how important they are to him. So Paul, at this time, as he's writing this, he's sitting in jail. And it's important to know that jail for Paul was not the same as we imagine it today, as we know jail to be today. There is nothing provided to Paul. He is in this dark cell with nothing else. He is reliant on friends to bring him food and warm blankets for his physical survival. So his friends from the church in Philippi, they've sent him supplies, but not only that, they have sent him people to connect with, to bring him news of their well-being, and to help him survive this time of confinement. Paul is talking here about friendship that is even stronger and deeper than the Beaches-influenced friendship of Sharon and I. He's talking about friendship rooted in Jesus Christ. And he's talking not only about individual friendships, but about group friendships. Because there is something incredibly special about a small group of people who have bonded by studying scripture together, praying together, and learning how to live out life as followers of Christ together. I know how I define friendship, but I was really curious to see if others saw friendship in the same way that I did. So I asked a question on social media, I put it out on Facebook, and I simply asked, what does friendship mean to you? I got a lot of responses back, for which I am grateful, and it was interesting to see that even though they were phrased a bunch of different ways, the common idea is that friendship is about people who know you, who really know you. Flaws, quirks, everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. And it's about someone who is there for you. And the interesting thing is time plays no real part in deep friendships either. You can see each other every day or once in 10 years, but you pick up right where you left off. And isn't that just what Paul has experienced? He hasn't been able to be with his friends from Philippi for a while. And in reading the whole letter of Philippians, we can hear that familiarity coming through from him. Clearly, you know, they've shared the information about the fight between Euodia and Syncyte, and isn't it a hallmark of deep friendship, having the courage to tell each other the truth even when it might be painful? Or having the courage to tell another some of the darker pieces of our own lives? Paul writes here about a mutual caring, one that helps one another stand firm and united in Christ. This kind of friendship helps us through conflict, and they are loyal to one another. There's an account in the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite Old Testament stories. It's of a time when the Israelites were involved in a battle, and the Lord said to Moses, as long as your arms are raised above your heads, the Israelites would win this battle. And this battle, it went on for a long time. And Moses could not continue to keep his arms raised, because if you've ever been in an exercise class, you know the longer you have your hands up, the heavier they get. So Moses could not continue to keep those hands raised. He had friends who came alongside beside him and literally held up his arms when he could not do it on his own. And you can read that story in Exodus 17 in 12 through 14 later on if you want to get into that a little more deeply. But this is the kind of friendship that Paul is talking about, and it's possible to have that same kind of friendship today. I personally have been blessed with so many individual friendships, many grounded in our faith, but I've also been privileged to have a couple of those small group friendships similar to what Paul is describing here. The first one for me began following a retreat I had attended, and one of the takeaways from this retreat time was you needed to become a part of a small group afterwards. They called them accountability groups back then. And it was a group about 4 to 5 people, and the goal was to be very intentional about sharing our victories and our challenges when it came to living as a Christ follower. So in this time, we would share with each other how we were doing with our worship attendance. You know, had we been going on Sunday mornings? Had we been going through the motions? Were we getting anything out of it? Why not? You know, we'd ask each other if we were reading scripture together or reading scripture on our own on a regular basis. And were we seeking to know God better through his words? And we'd talk about how we put our faith into action that week. You know, did we have moments where we had an opportunity to live in a way that Jesus called us to? Did we in some way care for the lonely, the orphan, the stranger, the imprisoned? Where did we have that opportunity to be the hands and heart of Christ for another person in our world that week? So I, together with 3 other women, we made this commitment to do this group thing. And we made a commitment to each other to be honest in our answers. And it wasn't easy, especially at first. It was downright uncomfortable and awkward at first, but you know what? We did it anyway. And gradually, it didn't feel so weird. Our sharing became much more natural. And this group friendship took hold and it deepened. And we met weekly for 10 years. And these women became the kinds of friends that I can call on with any of my most challenging, painful, saddest experiences. And they will pray with me and for me, and they are beside me the whole way. These are friends that bring the chocolate when I need it most. And it was this group of friends that brought the chocolate when I had to have a medical procedure scheduled and the doctor was concerned that the results would show cancer. So they held me through all the emotions that swirled around leading up to that procedure. And they rejoiced with me when the reports came back clear. We didn't continue to meet. We stopped meeting finally due to schedules and circumstances of life. But I realized I missed this kind of friendship group. And I was fortunate enough then to find another one, another three women. They had just begun their group. This group, it was focused on Bible study. And at first, we stuck to the study. And over time, we got to know each other, and we started to hang out together even more socially. And our friendship deepened. And it, too, was awkward at first. But we gradually got to know each other and sharing became more easier, it became more natural. And we only met together for just a few years, not a very long time at all. But like the others, these are women now that I can call at any time with any need and they are there with the chocolate. We have some theological differences. We don't see or talk to each other for months at a time. But that doesn't matter, because we have seen each other through infertility and adoption, through divorce, through seminary and occupation changes, boyfriend breakups, weddings, the birth of grandchildren, health scares of selves and spouses, and we always have a good supply of chocolate. For any of you that may have been around the Reformed Church in a long time, you may know the women's circle existed. I don't know, do you guys still have any circles here? So those of you who have been a part of that circle, you're not in your heads, right? You know that you too have this kind of group of friends who are ready with the chocolate whenever one of you is hurting, or struggling, or need your arms held up like Moses did to get through. These are deep friends who walk through the muck of life together, seeing that good, the bad, the ugly in each other, and sticking with one another. These are the friendships that require hard work and dedication. And these are the friends with whom a synergy develops and forbearance happens. Now, forbearance is a word that some of the translations Paul uses, and it's critical to these deep, long-term relationships because forbearance is forgiving or not minding those quirks. They are friendships that we don't have to wear the shiny, happy, I'm okay face masks on, but we can truly be ourselves with. And these are friendships that move forward in life together. And it is this kind of deep friendship rooted in Jesus Christ that Paul is encouraging in our text today. Presbyterian minister Christy Brown, she calls these holy friendships. And she says, Paul gives us some key indicators of them. We consider these friends our sisters and brothers in Christ. We affirm and love one another, standing united in Christ. We help our friends through conflict with one another. We are loyal to each other and struggle through things together. We rejoice in the Lord and take our prayers to God together. We practice forbearance, forgiveness, and gentleness with one another. We meditate on things that are true, honorable, and worthy of praise. We share the peace of Christ with each other. And we keep on keeping on in the work of Christ together. When we strive for the compassion, loyalty, sharing, and harmony found in these markers of holy friendships, we embody the gospel of Christ. We actively participate with God and with one another that will result in a shared life, becoming a community of people who hold each other's arms up and bring the chocolate in moments of struggle and in moments of rejoicing. And I was really privileged to see one of these deep friendships in action this week over at Pons. A friendship was born of children of the same age and of neighborhood life and of bongo together. Lest you think these friendships have to happen around Bible study or in the church. This group was a neighborhood group. One of the members wasn't a member of Pons. But one member was facing a big life challenge and really needed to connect, to let down that it's all okay mask and weep. This person could not hold up her arms and she needed some help. So this person called on another friend who promptly was there, holding up her arms, listening, crying, and praying. That was a friend who brought the chocolate. What a gift for me to see God in action through that friendship. So I have a challenge for you. I want you to pray about these holy friendships, and I want you to ask God if you are supposed to be part of a new group like that, committed to regular meeting and to honesty. Willing to get through any weirdness or awkwardness, willing to do the hard work of intentional friendship building as you deepen your discipleship in Christ. Are you willing to become part of a small group committed to honest accountability? And even if you're already part of one now, I still want you to ask for God's guidance on this. And as you discern, if you feel that nudge telling you, yes, I want to do this, talk to Pastor Chris of this movement of the Spirit in you, and that you want to be part of one of these groups. And he will make it happen. I will help him make it happen. Eli Wiesel, a professor, Nobel Prize winner, and Holocaust survivor, said, "Friendship marks a life even more deeply than love. Love risks degenerating into obsession. Friendship is never anything but sharing." Beloved, you are called into holy friendship with your Savior and with each other. So bring the chocolate. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, even now, begin to stir in us and give us your wisdom that we might discern for you, for ourselves where you are calling each of us. Lord, we thank you for those friendships that are already established and are deep and are the kind that hold up our arms and bring the chocolate. And Lord, if there are others we are called to create and deepen, let us know, Lord. and keep us open to your movement, that we might bring the chocolate not only to each other, but to this world. In your name, amen. I invite you now to respond, I invite you to stand as you are led to respond with the affirmation of faith. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third